The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
I've been chomping at the bit to speak to you for 2 days, Rolene, ever since I saw Herzog and Hatikva being sung in the UAE. What did your take
Isn't
on that?
Isn't it just amazing? So historic trip by President Herzog and his lovely wife, Michal. And some people actually commented, why is he looking scruffy? He's not shaven. That's because he is observing Shloshim. He is within the 30 days since his beloved mother passed away. But yesterday, taking off for Abu Dhabi, the capital, was our president and his lovely wife flying over Saudi airspace, which just that is extraordinary in itself. Yeah. And the president becomes the first Israeli president to visit the United Arab Emirates. And he was received with pomp and circumstance and a guard of honor. And he held very high-level meetings with several officials and then went on to meet Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed at the presidential palace, where, of course, we saw that extraordinarily beautiful version of Hatikva being played. Absolutely historic. I don't think there was any dry eye in the house looking at the press pack, covering it, looking at everybody on social media. Everyone just moved to tears. Our national anthem has been played before in the UAE and in Arab countries, but there was just something about seeing it and hearing it played in the presidential palace that just sent goosebumps and shivers down our spines. Yesterday, the president also met with leaders of the Jewish community in the United Arab Emirates. But not all smooth sailing. A rocket was fired from Houthi rebels towards the United Arab Emirates. Houthi rebels sponsored by Iran. The United Arab Emirates having the same issues that we face here in Israel with the Iranian proxies. And President Herzog reiterating again Israel's support for the United Arab Emirates. And the president, the Crown Prince, thanking him for Israel's solidarity. And then there were some murmurings that they had another impromptu meeting that was off the schedule. So a really, really extraordinary day yesterday. And today, just as extraordinary, President Herzog and the Minister of Tolerance opened Israel's National Day at the Dubai Expo. Every country gets its National Day. Ours was today. And just a celebration of our growing ties and more deals, more memorandums of understanding, more cooperation. And I see today announcements that we will be cooperating in a very, very crucial area, and that is the combating of climate change.
Rolene, the reaction, as being reported in the Israeli press, is to the Palestinians?
Not much of a reaction, and I think for good reason that I'm going to get to in a moment, and that's that the Arab world is getting very tired of Palestinian intransigence. Interestingly enough, we have seen so-called human rights organizations like If Not Now and Jewish Voices for Peace. I don't know why they call it Jewish Voices for Peace, because the one co-founder is in fact not Jewish, which makes it look extremely disingenuous, but they have put out a statement and a petition saying they are anti the Abraham Accords. Well, nothing says that you are anti-peace like signing a petition against peace agreements. To me, an epic own goal right there, but it just goes to show you that the organizations like this, like the so-called human rights NGOs that purport to be for social justice and human rights, when confronted by peace agreements, run hightailing it the other way.
I think that kind of leads us to this incredible story of a Kuwaiti editor calling for normalization between Gulf states and Israel.
This is absolutely extraordinary. This is the editor-in-chief of the Arab Times, a Kuwaiti himself, and he starts off his article saying, why are we the ones being insulted by the Palestinians? The article is called Normalize, Let Insulters Fend for Themselves. And he says, when they are happy, they curse the Gulf leaders and people. When they are angry, they use all of the defamatory and abusive words in their dictionary against us. And we overlook all that by sending them aid. And he goes on to write that Gulf countries have sent the Palestinians aid over the years, supported their self-determination, helped evacuate Yasser Arafat from Amman in Jordan, supported them in their calls for boycotting of oil exports to Western countries. Goes on to say supporting Palestinians in various institutions and their calls for national determination. However, when they get the opportunity, I mean, he uses some quite angry language that I'm not going to repeat here, but you have a very strong language, like, you know, the terrorist snake Qasem Soleimani, and he says, he makes a slur that I'm not going to repeat, but he says, he excoriates Ismail Haniyeh, one of the leaders of Hamas, for showing support for Houthi rebels that are backed by Iranians, the insults, the curses. And he says, how long will our people and their countries continue to be insulted by those who sell themselves to the highest bidder? Is Palestine still our cause by which we bear responsibility for? And it's really, really extraordinary. And he says, basically, all Gulf countries should normalize ties with Israel and let the Palestinians fend for themselves.
And I think we just need to remind ourselves that what is so incredible about this is that the Kuwaitis actually, up until now, have been supporters of the Hamas regime in Gaza, unless I'm incorrect.
Well, this is exactly the point. They're supportive of Hamas, they're supportive to a certain regard the Palestinian Authority, but they're basically saying, we've had enough. We give you money, we give you support, and your response to us, I mean, we saw it when the Abraham Accords were signed, the burning of the effigy of Mohammed bin Zayed and the Emirati flag, which was a massive, massive, massive insult to the Emirati people. And it looks like the chickens are coming home to roost. And they're actually saying more than just that. They're saying normalize ties with Israel. Israel is a growing superpower in the region. Look what is happening with Bahrain, with the Emiratis. Look at the deals. Look at the benefits mm-hmm. for people, and stop supporting people. He says that he ended by saying, let the foolish fend for themselves.
Kind of related to that, but not quite, is the story of the Palestinians in an online protest against Hamas. And I'm thinking, Rolene, how brave one has to be to take on Hamas.
Well, first of all, this was published in the BBC, which really, really surprised me, given the recent issues with the BBC. But yes, hundreds of Palestinian activists have been taking part in a very, very rare online event called We Want to Live. They are online events, and they're strongly critical of the way that Hamas is governing the Gaza Strip, saying, imagine your one-month-old dies because of the cold. Imagine your son is dying because there is no electricity, no money, no wages, and no home. And this is not targeted at Israel. This is targeted at the fact, and they're going to say Hamas have billions, that they have pocketed billions while we starve, have no electricity, have no water. And the newspaper Al Monitor last week published an op-ed by Rasha Abu Jalal saying that Hamas is trying to appropriate some land around the Rafah border crossing, and they have sent in bulldozers to evict Palestinians from their home and absolutely bulldoze their homes and farms on an area of about 55 dunams, which is about just over 13 and a half acres. And 23 families that have lived in that area have lost their homes. And I notice no Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch talking about that.
Raylene Marks, that was a remarkably positive Israel report today. Nice for a change. Thank you for that.
Do it again tomorrow.
Let's hope so, indeed. Although I'm not sure one can repeat that historic visit. It really was moving. If you haven't seen it, look for it on YouTube. Amazing is what it is.